You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as he is every single week, is my fantabulous co-host,
Tristan Riddell.
And this week, as we do every week, I think, we've got a heck of a show coming to you. And, you know, I hate to be kind of a Debbie Downer, but this might be a little bit of a negative topic, but we're going to say these things with love, because we're going to talk about Aliens of the Week that, honestly, we were kind of glad that we didn't ever see again.
The people that we're going to list, we don't necessarily hate these characters or hate this species. It's just, okay, this was enough. 1 week was fine. Like, that's all we needed of these people. Like, some of these people are going to be creepy that we didn't like. Others are going to be, that's enough. That's good. Let's move on.
Right. In fact, a lot of the people that I have for consideration on this list that I made in preparation, it's not that I disliked the characters or thought they were awful. It's just, you know what? I'm not sure what else we could have done with them. So it was good that we only saw them for this 1 week.
Exactly. And we have seen some characters that have gone on too long. We've seen some characters who have popped up when they don't need to. We've seen some characters that have been over-explained or over-emphasized. Mm-hmm. And this is not that case. And this is us being glad that it's not that case.
Right. They served their purpose, and they moved on, and it was a good thing they did it. So, let's kick this baby off. Who is at the top of your list, Tristan?
Well, the people who are at the top of my list is one of those cases where, okay, I don't hate them, but I did not want to see them ever again, and that would be the D'Vore.
Aha, okay. That's one on my list, too, but that's why I have honorable mentions.
Like, we all know who the D'Vore are. You know, it's Kashyyyk, the guy who screams, Prax!
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 It's the, it's the xenophobic D'Vore. It's the people who are trying to track down telepaths. It's the episode Counterpoint, where Catherine Janeway and the Voyager crew hid their own telepaths and also some refugee telepaths in a transporter buffer a la Scotty Relic style.
That's right.
And they got away by the skin of their teeth, but not before D'Vore was a double-double agent, or whatever you'd want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And flirted with Catherine a little bit. And I guess Kashyyyk, who is so hardcore D'Vore, like he's... you feel like he's a great representative of their race, and he's very slimy and smarmy, and
definitely.
But then you have his number two, who's all cold and collected and doesn't care and is just spouting regulations and rules. Like I said, I like them for that 1 week, and the outfits were cool. The forehead of the week didn't bother me. It's just these guys would have been very, very boring if we saw them as much as the Kazon.
Plus, I feel like if we would have seen them again, what more would you have added to them, and what good would we have gotten out of that? That's kind of actually what I used as the basis for coming up with my candidates, and that's why these guys made my list. I thought they did they did something really great with this episode, but had we seen them again, I really think that it just would have been really bland and awful, and anything we would have learned about them would have not been that great.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right, is that when they came in, they had a mission statement, and they had an opposition, and it was, they didn't like telepaths, they were going to try to get it, like, kill or enslave as many telepaths as they could, and then move on. And Voyager got away. They escaped. And then
left
it behind.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin that.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, especially with such a good episode as Counterpoint. It's one of the absolute best, in my opinion. So to do the sequel is, it kind of would have been what a lot of sequels, like what happens with sequels, is it just would have not lived up to the first incarnation. So I'm really glad they didn't go back to the well on this one.
It would have been really tempting to do so, especially with the whole romantic tension and the betrayal of Kashyyyk.
Absolutely, yes. But I'm so glad they didn't.
So glad they didn't. All right, what is on the top of your list?
Okay, the top of my list, I have the Komar in Virtuoso. And these aliens are essentially what humans would be if the arts programs continue to be cut and all we know are equations and mathematical theory. And as good as and wonderful as that is, I actually kind of found these guys a little bit annoying.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very interesting idea, and they did a great job with the story, but I would not want to see them again.
Yes, absolutely. I completely forgot about these people, and if I remembered this species, they would have been number one on the top of my list. These people were so annoying, and they were supposed to be. I mean, they were written to be annoying so that you would get sick of them really quickly. And also just add to the insult that the Doctor almost left Voyager for them. They're kissing his holographic butt. Why on earth would you leave a group of loving crew members that you've been with for however many years just to go with some adoring fans when the fanatics could stop loving you at any moment? That's not real friendship. And that's what he learns at the end of the episode. And so just the whole... Yeah, just the whole snideness, the superiority complex would have gotten really annoying if we saw it again.
Right, absolutely. I understand. That's how they were written. That's what was intended. But it really does kind of grate on you after a while. Like, you've ever had to work with somebody, like, say, a manager who talks down to you? That's what these people remind me of, and that's just not comfortable. It's not something you want to put up with, and so... Had we seen them in a future episode, I would have just... Ah, no, not again. No. Oh. I might have cried.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. I really enjoy Virtuoso. I love hearing Bob Cardo sing. I love seeing the little tiny holographic desk version of him when he was singing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the episode itself is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a great episode, but those people are so annoying.
Yep, glad we left them behind. Set a course for home. Zoom.
It would grate on you. And another cool thing about the episode was just how complex their satellite system was and their docking system and how much traffic was around the planet. I thought that was really interesting. But you can't have that every week.
Right.
Yeah.
Clearly, because we didn't,
yeah.
Yeah, they were nicely developed, but I really just don't want to hear them speak down to me ever. So what is your second on your list?
My second? I had a hard time with this one because I could have easily replaced it, but there was just something about it where I was like, okay, I had enough of you, and you should be done preaching to me. It would be the Inarin from the episode Remember, where B'Elanna started having very vivid sexual dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What she thought were just dreams turned out to be memories, and it was from a woman who was on the ship because they were transporting these people on their to their home planet on their ship, and they could transfer memories and experiences. And some old woman was doing this with B'Elanna, and it was really just to give her an after-school special about how racism is wrong.
Yeah.
With that, like I thought it was interesting, like the whole transfer of memory. I love the idea of the musical instrument that they had where you stroke the air kind of like a theremin, but it's much more cool sounding than a theremin. And although I hated their outfits, I hated that little headdress thing that they have on, because like so many aliens have that weird honeycomb beehive headdress thing on in
yeah.
Star Trek Voyager, so many of them. And it just, I love... when Star Trek gives a political statement or a social statement and they make us think about things. This one was much more, you're not going to think about it. You're going to have the sledgehammer hit you in the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's more of the episode's fault than it is the race's fault. But at the same time, I associate that message with these species. So I'm like, okay, we saw these species, we saw this message, and we're going to move on.
And done. Yeah. I don't think it's the most memorable episode either, even though it's called Remember Me. It's sort of like how Unforgettable is the most forgettable episode in the whole freaking series. It's not that it's bad. It's just it's not that good either. I can see why this made your list. It's just kind of, meh. All right, yeah. Moving on.
All right, what's your next one?
All right, the next one is the Botha Alien from Persistence of Vision. And I know some people can't stand this episode, and I actually love it. Because I love the idea that this guy is just kind of going around in space, screwing with people, messing with them because he can. That's the only explanation he gives as to why he does what he does with the Voyager crew. And you know, to be honest, I think that's absolutely what would happen if we found enough, you know, humanoid-type people out there in space. It's just people messing with you. There's not always a reason. It's just he's bored. He needed something to do that day, so that's what he did. That said, though, what would we have possibly done with him had we seen him again?
I honestly have completely forgotten about this guy. That is how forgettable he was to me. This was the only time that we saw him in all of Star Trek, not just Voyager. And to answer your question about what we would have seen again, I think they could have done something. They could have gotten them, instead of having somebody go through individual hallucinations where we as the audience completely understood that it was a hallucination, where he makes the entire crew go under one hallucination and it's kind of like the Beast there's so many hallucination Star Trek episodes where the whole crew is in on it.
There really are. Yeah.
Like, if they did that again, we'd be like, oh, this again. And once it ended, I can just see, you know, the both, like, the guy just laying on the ground in the same way, like, oh, you fooled me again. You know,
right. So honestly, would you want to see that?
No, it would be redundant. He's a one trick pony.
Pretty much. He needed to go on to somebody else. He needed to go off and mess with the Kazon and make them hallucinate and have his way with them. And to be honest, like, we never really quite figured out why he was doing this at all. And so maybe you could give him a purpose as to why he's going around. Maybe he's stealing things from people. Who knows? But even that would not be enough depth for me. I just think, for this episode, it's interesting, it's cool, and I love the fact that they do this one time.
Yeah.
But as a designer, like, one of the rules that we follow is you can only do, like, the turned page illustration so many times, like a page corner, you know?
Yeah.
You're allowed one in your whole career. If you use it, then it's gone. It's kind of like this. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, you try really hard not to repeat yourself, and with so many episodes and so many hours of Star Trek, it's hard, but with it, when you mentioned, like, it moving, going on to the Kazon, all I pictured was him torturing, like, one Kazon sect, and all of them are hallucinating about water or something. Like, everyone sees a waterfall or a pond or a river, and that's
all it would take.
That's the entire episode. It's just each Kazon has a different type of water. One's a babbling brook, one's a fountain, and then we see that for 42 minutes.
And the truth is, you could probably do it in 5.
Awesome short film.
What's your next pick?
My next one is the Vaudoir.
Okay.
So the Vaudoirs, who look like cousins to the Cardassians to me, like some sort, they look like a viper or a cobra or something like that. And I really enjoyed, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that I really enjoyed their storyline, because Dragon's Teeth was just okay. I felt like it was a good episode that had a lot of promise at the beginning, and then they took a left when they should have taken a right, and I just felt like it was an episode that went the wrong direction. And
agreed.
I really like Gedrin, who's a male Vaudoir, but I really like that actor. But by the time they showed the whole story, it was very played out. There wasn't much more that we could do with these characters. Like, the only thing that I can think of where we see them again is people got away and they used the tunnels, and then, you know, all of a sudden they pop up out of a tunnel, you know, later on, you know, in the series, and it's like, oh yeah. No, it's the Vaudoir again. But it's just, we had a very complete beginning, middle, and end with this species, where we saw a war-torn planet. And then we saw them sleep. We saw them wake up, their plight, and then their attempted revolution, and then their fall. It was bam, the rise and fall of an empire for the second time. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't a situation where, like, oh, I can't stand these guys, this is a horrible episode or anything like that. It was just beginning, middle, and end, and there's nothing more.
Right, yeah, it's complete. They took care of it in one round.
What did you think of the VOD War?
You know, I did not have them on my list. I didn't think too much about them, so I'm glad that you put them on. Dragon's Teeth as an episode is not one I think about very often, so there's my opinion of it. I agree. It is a great idea, but the execution is just not quite up to snuff, unfortunately. I guess I would say I am fairly indifferent to these people. We saw them, beginning, middle, end, like you said, and that's it.
All right. Well, what is your next alien?
All right. Well, they're the aliens that are next on my list. You're going to appreciate this. Are the people we saw in Muse?
Oh, because, yeah. Oh,
sure. I mean, you take our running gag of we used to be artists, and you blow it up into an entire episode, and that's what this episode is.
I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. We have a culture filled with artists and writers, and
right. Only this culture has patrons as well, who pay the writers and the actors to do their little plays, and the whole kind of aspect of the Greek chorus line. The way this episode is so dark, it just feels really dull. We've mentioned this before. And they're pretty much just a bland forehead of the week. Not a whole lot to them. They're very forgettable, and they really don't contribute a whole lot of anything. And yet, I don't totally hate this episode.
Yeah.
It is worth watching every once in a great while, because it's a great episode for B'Elanna. It's kind of fun. It's fun to see her kind of just her jaw open when she sees what the playwright has done with the Voyager characters, for instance. She's just, no. no, Seven of Nine would not do that, or Tuvok would not do that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun, and yet I don't understand why she cared at all about this guy. So I'm pretty happy that we only saw them once. They didn't do a whole lot for me. How about you?
Yeah, I have a supreme hatred for this episode just because it's so mediocre and so boring, and so thus I associate it with the species, and the species were just so lackluster. And for a culture who was focused so heavily on the arts, they're not very lively.
And, no, they're really not.
And I think that's what really killed me, is that, you know, in the episode with I can never remember the episode title, and you've had to tell me this like six times over the past couple of years, but the guy who's obsessed with pleasure is like, this is not at all pleasurable.
Prime Factors.
Not at all pleasurable.
Prime Factors, thank you. That'll be like the 700th time. Yeah. At least that culture had color and dance and artistry and sculpture, where it was to the point where they enjoyed life and they enjoyed living, and you didn't see them, you know, solving math equations. You didn't see the engineers there, but you could tell that they were really into art and really into, you know, storytelling. And so that's at least one thing that they had going for them. Not that I'd want to see them again.
One of the very few things they had going for them.
One of the very few things. Like I said, not that I'd want to see them again. But then you juxtapose them with Muse, and good Lord, Snorefest. Absolutely.
It kind of is, unfortunately. And the fact that they have such dark lighting throughout most of this episode really does kind of put you in the mood for a nap. Because you can barely see anything.
It's like, Data, I can't even see you.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah, it's like, but no, it's worse than Generations. People complain that Star Trek Generations was a really dark movie. Have that. And you've got this episode.
Oh, man, that's another podcast, because I'll defend Generations. I'll do it. I'll defend the cinematography and the lighting.
I don't hate Generations, but I know that's definitely a complaint. That's very dark. Well, compared to the lighting of the series, yeah, it was. But was it right? It's another podcast.
Is it right? Yes. Yeah. Like, was it darker? Yes. Did they use natural lighting? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, podcast. What's your next pick?
My next one is, you're going to have to help me on this one, because I have an irrational hatred for this species, and okay. I don't know why. The Illari from episode Warlord, where Kes's body was taken over by Tyrion.
You don't like them, huh? Okay, how come?
Okay, so the episode's not bad, and not that bad. And Kes does a really great... Oh, Jennifer Lean does a really great job of trying to be another person. And I just... There was not a single Illari that I liked. There wasn't a single person. And I know that there are people in the show, like there's antagonists that you're not supposed to like. But there should be certain people that you enjoy watching. I didn't enjoy watching any of these people. I didn't like the actors they chose. I didn't like the characters they were portraying. And when I saw them, I was like, if I saw a show all about their political upheaval or a Borgia version of Tyrion and all of them, I would turn the channel immediately. Like, I just did not like them. What did you think about them?
Wow. When you put it that way, I totally see your point. I like Warlord. It's a pretty decent episode. Like you said, Jennifer Lean tears it up. But as far as these people go, I think you got a very good point.
So maybe if it was recasted or they had different characters within the same storyline, maybe I'd feel different. You know, maybe it's not the species' fault, but it's the actors who were just kind of wooden.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like honestly, I didn't really care about any of them. And yeah, you're maybe not supposed to like the enemy of the week, but they do have to have some kind of alluring quality that makes them interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely, because I wasn't rooting for Tyrion. I wasn't rooting for Dimas. I wasn't rooting for... I was barely rooting for the Voyager crew. I was just like, let's move on. Let's erase these people from the pantheon.
Let's get this over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, the only really interesting thing in the episode is watching Jennifer Lean as this other person. That part of it's really interesting. The rest of it, though, yeah, come to think of it, I need to rewatch this episode now because it's been a while. I think you're right.
So, by my calculations, you have two more. Hit us up on your next one.
Okay. How about the Mari and Random Thoughts? These people are the peaceful telepaths with pure thoughts, clear as a cool mountain stream. And then they are corrupted when the Voyager crew arrives.
Specifically, B'Elanna.
Specifically, B'Elanna and her angry demeanor. Darn her. This is a great idea in theory, but I am not buying it. And therefore, I did not like these aliens, and I didn't really even like this episode very much. And so, blah-blah.
Yeah, there's one thing that I can't stand from a species in Star Trek, and that's the holier-than-thou attitude, and they definitely have that. You know, with the whole, the way that they live their lives, there's no violence, and that, you know, how dare you incarcerate people, that's completely cruel. You know, we just erase their brains.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
It's, you know, I hate the holier than thou, which is really funny because humans and the Federation are kind of known for that.
But, it's true, yes.
Yeah, it's just with these people, because of all of those things, it would have been a huge eye roll if we saw them again.
Really? Could you imagine the Mari getting together with the Komar? I wonder who would win that contest.
I'd fall asleep before I found out who won.
You know what I would love to see is just them degrading into a major cat fight and annihilating one another.
You know what? Maybe we should have seen them again then, if that was the outcome.
Maybe that's what should have happened. Darn, the fact that these were so far apart in the series, there's no way that we could get them to meet, but yeah. The holier-than-thou thing really kind of, it grates on me too. And yet, like you said, 24th century humans aren't a whole lot better. And so when we go toe-to-toe with these guys, it's kind of like pot calling kettle in a way. But these people were really freaking annoying. And yeah. I just don't like them at all. These were one of the few that made my list where I just thought, yeah, I genuinely did not like them at all. All right. So we are down to the last one on your list. What is it?
My final species... My final alien of the week is the Katati. That is the race in the episode Day of Honor. It's the they're kind of reptilian, you know, looking kind of grayish brown, got a huge nose ridge. They're just really ugly. And
they really are. Yeah.
The story behind them was that their technology was thorium-based, and they lost the ability to make it. And so they wanted supplies from Voyager, and Voyager's like, well, we can give you this much. And they're like, we want more. And they're like, well, we can't give you any more because, you know, we need this to survive. And they're like, screw you. And then that's the episode where Voyager loses its warp core. They find the warp core, and then they try to use it as a bargaining chip. And Seven of Nine's like, okay, well, if you give us the warp core back, we'll give you the technology to replicate your thorium. And there was just a lot of things. This episode's pretty good if you focus on B'Elanna, which it is focused on B'Elanna.
Mm-hmm.
These aliens are really just kind of a side note, but I couldn't stand the actor who portrayed the main Kitati, Lumas. And I felt he was a bad actor. There was a moment when Seven of Nine walks past him and he just goes, Bork! And he does it just like that. And right when that happened, I was like, are you serious? This is happening. We're doing this.
Yeah.
It completely took me out of it. Because this is the 24th century. We're in the Delta Quadrant. I'm sure you meet species all the time. If we have Bluetooth today and we can spot, hey, look, that's a douchebag. You know, that's one thing. But if we're in the 24th century, people could have implants all over their bodies, and it doesn't mean that they're Borg. Now, granted, he's pissed at the Borg, but I'm just so angry at that moment.
I love your anger.
I'm just so angry at that moment. It's just exhausting sometimes. And then later on, another reason why I can't stand them is because Voyager gave them supplies out of the goodness of their heart, and they're like, you need to give us more. And I'm like, listen, you jerk. All right? They didn't have to give you anything. And
exactly. It's you just, ungrateful bastard.
Exactly. It was just like, you ungrateful bastard. It's just, so that is what pissed me off. And so, like, granted, you're supposed to hate them, but I'm like, no more. I hated them for this episode. Don't give them to me again.
They were kind of revolting. Yeah. When I watch this episode, I do not pay attention to the Kitati because they kind of just... they're hard to look at, for one thing. They are ugly, but then their attitude does suck. And so I pay more attention to what I'm actually interested and invested in, and that is B'Elanna. And yeah, I love the fact that you hate these guys so much. They are the intergalactic douchebags.
Intergalactic. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what's your last one?
The creepy pleasure guy, Gath.
Not at all pleasurable.
From Prime Factors, because he is such a creeper. I've watched this episode so many times, and every time he still gives me this awful vibe. I can't understand why in the world, like, Janeway gives off the impression that she finds this guy alluring, and I really wonder why. Because he just... there is something, like, that spells child molester all over this guy. I don't know if it's the actor, the way that the actor portrayed this guy... he bothers me really bad. And the real kicker, the reason why I decided to go with this one, is the fact that there was potential to bring them back in the future. This could have been a recurring thing because they were advanced. They did have the space folding technology. They could have potentially done more with them. There could have been a little bit more fighting with that, or there could have been something that comes to bite Voyager back or something. They could have done more. They chose not to. Thankfully, they didn't, because I don't want to see this dude ever again.
Yeah, that's really funny that I brought him up in a positive example, but at the same time, it wasn't an example of I wanted to see them again. Mm-hmm. It was they're better than the Muse people, which, let's face it, isn't that hard to be.
No, that's a low bar. But this guy in particular, not so much the culture, it's just Gath.
Yeah.
Who really freaks me out, and I just do not like him. I do not trust him. He is luring children into his windowless van, and...
oh, jeez.
that's just my opinion of him. I'm sorry. I had to go there. It's a dark place.
He wasn't on my list, because I didn't really hate him, but I can understand, you know, like, why you would think he's creepy. And, you can only handle so much creep. So, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm in agreement with you on that one.
All right. Well... creepy pleasure people aren't the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM this week, so here's a little look at what else has been happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Where no man has gone before, comic versus episode. they talk about how we just picked up this psychiatrist from Alderaan.
Alderaan. Let's just call it Alderaan.
Earl Grey.
All good things.
In a universe where Troy is dead, the Enterprise D lives on. That's all I want to say. It's the only thing that matters.
The Ready Room.
Simple defense.
Dukat recorded messages, obviously, for a lot of different scenarios. Isn't it funny to think of him, like, you know, whatever, 10 years before this episode, like, yeah, you know, putting a day aside. It's like, I have to sit in front of a camera and just think of ways they could screw us.
The Orb.
Till death do us part.
His are very quizzical in nature. They're of the scientist. They're of the somebody who is willing to accept, okay, what is this reality? What's going on? She's just all like, tell me what to do right now. You know, like,
right.
There's nothing spiritual about her.
To the journey!
Voyager Season 4 Marathon.
I was working full-time on top of being a full-time student, and I...
Listen, I don't want to hear your excuses, okay? I don't want to hear them.
Like, life was happening, and...
A great man once told me, if something's important to you, you make the time. Warp 5.
Organians on Enterprise.
Part of what this episode of Enterprise is about for me is it's the search for the Organian society to find compassion again.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Griff Bull and the X-Files, Bad Blood.
It's actually kind of odd because the audience can piece together the narrative flow better than, you know, their boss.
That's because their boss didn't have the brilliant direction of Cliff Bull to observe.
Literary Treks.
Greg Cox, No Time Like the Past.
The one thing I had to be very careful of, and this was another sort of potential minefield that I had to navigate, was nobody in Kirk's time knows who the Borg are. So she can't, like, oh, hi, I'm 7 of 9. I'm a former Borg. You know, they don't know the Borg. She has to be careful not to tell them the Borg.
And introducing Continuing Mission, our newest show all about fan series and independent productions.
Star Trek continues with Doug Drexler.
Everybody who does a Star Trek show in CG, the first thing they do is make the ship 947 feet long. Well, there's no way it's going to look the same because the ship that they shot on television wasn't 2,000 feet long. It was 11 feet long.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We have Trek coming to you every single day of the week, sometimes more than one show even. We're virtually on every single platform that you can think of, so no matter what your device, you can find us. Or just go to trek.fm/pd and access the podcast directory. You can find us all there. And we couldn't be doing all of these shows without the help of our sponsor, so let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for this show is audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
So now that you know which aliens of the week we were more than happy to see go, we want to know what would make your list. And to do that, we would love to hear from you on trek.fm/forums. And we do love hearing from all of you folks, and one of the very best ways that you can help support the podcast is to give us a review on iTunes. Now, Tristan, what are we doing next week?
Next week, I'm really excited because this is a what could have been episode. This is a what a different universe could have shown us if Voyager just went a little bit differently. What we're going to talk about is people who auditioned for roles on Voyager. We're talking about people who auditioned for Chakotay, Seven, and most importantly, Catherine Janeway, because apparently everybody and their mom auditioned for Catherine Janeway. And we're going to talk about who we would have liked to have seen, who we thought would have been god-awful, and how the Delta Quadrant would have been affected by a different actor or actress.
So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey! Journey!